A63, number 14B.
Actually, we could ask ourselves, what would it mean? Say, these are the questions we have to ask. If there would be a subtone of life in it, what would we say if there is a subtone of life in it? Because I can easily see that we would ask ourselves, but life, you see, must certainly stress itself as being life, and therefore there should be a subtone life as life in order to be really life. And what would we get if we would put in a subtone of life? We would get there, I guess, the newness of life, that we would say, yes, and in this infinite individuality that is going on, that we, on which we can draw constantly, as infinite individuality, there we can see that we are always new. That every time we are something new, that would be wonderful to see. But is it necessary? See, that's the point. Is it necessary? Is it not enough to see that I have a principle? And then see, I don't need to know that I can always be new. What I want to do is that I am going now to demonstrate that newness constantly. If I have a consciousness, 60, if I have a consciousness of that principle and can calculate myself, then I am going to demonstrate newness of life anyway. And so, a subtone of life would be redundant. Still could be there, it wouldn't matter, because you always can take in more, but the minimum. That doesn't hurt the system, but it's not necessary, because the sixth day is that day which says, now you really have your principle of being with which you can now go through all your life and demonstrate through all your life always the divine principle of being, which is always the newness of life. You will always have new situations, new problems to handle, and therefore there will be no end to it, so you will get the newness of life. But that you do by your own consciousness, and not just by saying that in being there is a constantly newness of life. All right, I think I say too much. I go to the sixth day. You see, these are the things that you may have to think over for a longer period. Because this is not something that one just can get right away. One must have an inner evidence, an inner certainty on these tones. And that one gains only by going over them and thinking about them and always asking these questions. Why do I need a further tone? Is a further tone necessary in order that I can really go on a secure basis? Once I have the principle of being, life as principle, I have certainly a terrific new basis, and I can say, now I can work out from that principle. And that's the sixth day. So, the sixth day, as you know, has seven subtones. The first day that has a seven. Well, why has it seven subtones? And we can actually answer that rather quickly if we always ask the right questions. Namely, the sixth day is the bridge to the seventh day. And the seventh day is what? The seventh day is the day of rest, the day of perfection, the day of fulfillment, the day of the climax. Therefore, in order to have perfection, I naturally need to have all. And seven is always the all. So the sixth day has to give us the all of it. Must give us the full reflection of God, because man's consciousness as the image and likeness of God, as God's own consciousness of himself, must therefore have the full consciousness, and consequently must have the seven subtones. Let us go through those seven subtones. They are really very interesting. It starts out with the first, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind," and it was so. And the scripture, the marginal heading that you have afterwards is continuity of thoughts. It's all about thoughts. Even the next, if we just go quickly to the next page, you will also have on the next page the marginal heading, God thoughts, spiritual realities, and further down, qualities of thoughts. And so you begin to see Mrs. Eddy explains here actually the standpoint of thoughts. And the symbol for these thoughts, for these God thoughts, she calls the animals, not men. Man is not yet created. So God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creatures and the cattle and creeping thing." Because, you know, we always have to go back to the world picture that these people had at that time. They were thinking, where, how, or through what symbol can I symbolize qualities, the qualities of men, single qualities of men, like honesty, like courage, like wisdom, like perseverance. How can I symbolize them? And certainly they couldn't symbolize them so much through the trees or through the mountains or the rivers, but they always could do it through animals, because the animals always were combined with certain single qualities. So you always had a dog that is loyal, what do you call a loyal dog, or a faithful dog, you always call a wise serpent with wisdom, the lion is always courage, and so actually you have a whole list, if you go through your vocabulary, that one attributes a certain single good quality, usually to a single animal, like meekness to a lamb that is brought to a slaughter, and so on. The fox and all these things, they attribute certain qualities. So the record starts first with these single ideas, with these single qualities of deity, and calls them cattle. That's their expression. And Mrs. Eddy explains then here these qualities. So first of all, we have again the creative sense, let the earth bring forth, so it is truth as mind. We now encounter here the presentation of true qualities as qualities of God, created by God, true qualities. What are these qualities? That is explained in the second verse. Truth as spirit, and spirit always gives us the nature of creation. It always gives us the qualities. And so, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after its kind, and God saw that it was good. So all these qualities of thought that come from God, that God created, truth's mind, are now called good, are good qualities. truth as spirit, the nature of spirit. And Mrs. Eddy then takes that opportunity and talks over one page and a half about these qualities. Talks about moral courage is the quality of a lion. Free and fearless it roams in the forest. Then she likens the cattle to diligence, promptness, perseverance. Then she takes the lion was safe. What else does she take here? Then patience is symbolized by the tireless worm. She takes the serpent of God's creating, is a wise idea, charming in its adroitness. So just bringing out that God's qualities are good, and therefore we have, so to say, the material out of which now God creates men. That all these ideas together now, then in the third, is then called man, because it says in truth as soul, and God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the earth and over the cattle and over the earth and over creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So at the point of soul we can see that man is created as what? As the whole image and likeness of God. The creeping things were not the image and likeness of God, they were qualities of God. Single qualities of God. So that we can say first, Mrs. Eddy had to say that man is constituted of ideas or qualities, truth as mind. These qualities, truth as spirit, are good qualities. Then comes truth and soul, and say, if you take them all together as one identity, the identity of God, and you take them all together, then you have man. And we can see right away, you see, how the compound idea man is now coming into focus. That he is, so to say, a compound of all these animals. That all qualities together constitute the consciousness of man. So you have in soul, where you see that each one of all these ideas are now are qualities of God, reflecting the qualities of God, and therefore man reflects the whole quality of God. A compound, a sense of it. Man is the family name, she says here, for all ideas. Can you see? The family name of all ideas. So, when we ask ourselves now, what is man? Well, how do we answer that, what is man? We say, perhaps quickly, yes, man is the image and likeness of God. Okay, that's a true answer, but what does it mean? What is the image and likeness of God? And if you have to answer that, what can you do? Can you say, well, I make myself an image of God Almighty. You can't do that. What is then the image and likeness of God? You can't answer that in any other way but to say what the ideas are that constitute man. You say, all right, yeah, man as the image and likeness of God is what? Man is at the point of being the idea of mind, therefore at the point of intelligence, of power, of lawfulness, of activity, of creativity, he's at the point of spirit, therefore he's at the point, man is at the point that his idea of unfoldment, of development, of substance, of giving birth, of eternal fruition, of eternal progress, he is therefore at the point of soul, therefore he's always that which is eternal, which is immortal, which is unchangeable, which is sinless, which cannot fail, which cannot get lost, is always at the point where it's completely untouched by anything, untouched by animal magnetism, is at the point of the idea of principle, therefore, what is man? Man is the ever-operative idea of God, ever demonstrating itself, ever proving itself, ever demonstrating itself, ever operating in the harmony of being. Therefore, at the point of life, man is eternal. An idea of fullness that never lacks anything, that is at the point of infinite multiplication and spontaneity of life, or the newness of life, the irresistibility of life, the push of life, the impact of life, the impulsion of life. He's at the point of truth. Therefore, man as idea at the point of truth is always a consciousness of God, a full consciousness of God, therefore always at the point of affirming only that which is true and negating all that is wrong. He's always at that point of feeling that dominion within himself, and therefore at the point of being whole and healthy. He's always at the point of love, therefore he's always at the point of being fulfilled in its mission, therefore always at ease and at peace and at rest, and feeling that he includes all, never being excluded, that all is included in his universe, and he's supported by that universe, loved by that universe, cared by that universe. And you see man as an image and likeness of God. So you can't do anything else but to see what a lot of animals constitute men. All these qualities that was shown in Truth's mind, Truth's spirit, saying the fundamental elements of men are that God has ideas, and these ideas have spiritual qualities. Yes? See, so that you say, and if I take all these together, I identify myself with that, then I have the third day, truth of soul. So never really stop. If you think about man and say, what is man? That you say, well, man, yes, man. Yes, he's the image and likeness of God. What do you have in your consciousness when you say image and likeness of God? It's an empty rendering. It's a help, because it says he's not absolutely the opposite of God. He's actually like God. But it's only a help to say, now what is like God? And like God is only that which is of the nature of idea. Therefore, you have to fill your consciousness with the ideas. And only then, really, you feel that you are considering the image and likeness of God. Yes? So, never stop at that, say, religious sense of Christian Science, where you just say man is the image and likeness of God. Go to the scientific sense and realize, and go through the seven synonymous term and realize what these ideas constituting man are. And that he is actually the compound of the whole list of ideas which you have on your in your notebook about mind and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth and love. That's the image and likeness of God. And that's man. Yes. So, at that point we come to man for the first time. Then, come to the next passage, Truth as Principle. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So we can see that, again he says, let it be created in his own image. But now he created it, and male and female created he them. Mrs. Eddy then takes this verse and brings out that man is the ideal of God. That the ideal man, the ideal woman, is really the ideal of God. Bringing out what? So to say, that having seen that man in truth of soul is the image and likeness, therefore the family name of all ideas, Now she goes a step further and says, and that family name of all ideas must be God's own ideal. That's her explanation. It doesn't come out so well in the biblical text. Male and female created he them. It's interesting, you know. In the verse before, God is in the plural. And here God is a he. Is in the singular. You know, in the verse 26, he says that God said, let us make man. Let us, the plural. Namely, the plurality, as Mrs. Ed explains it, of the Elohistic God. Elohim is a plural name. It's a plural name which means the Trinity of God. Three in one. And Mrs. Ed explains that them, or that us, let us, is life, truth, and love. So let us, life, truth, and love, make men. And actually, when we go further in our chart, we naturally see that the days of creation are always the outcome of the impact of absolute Christian science, namely of the impact of life, truth, and love. It is always life, truth, and love that brings the days of creation into being. But that's going too far, that we may do in 2 years. But it's interesting to see that first the Bible text says, let us make men. And then here, when he wants to show that man is not only a family, a whole family name, a gathering together of all ideas, but that it is actually only one thing, not a gathering together, but one thing, that all that gathering together must be one thing, namely the ideal of the one God. And that is what Mrs. Eddy explains and brings out in the side note on page 515, the divine personality. See, you get really the tone of principle as the divine person, and says, actually, you see, there is therefore actually only one man, namely the generic term man. So from the compound idea man in truth as soul, you get to truth as principle, to the generic term man, and say there is actually only one man, that ideal of God. That's the one man. The highest ideal that God has of himself, this is really man. Then we go further to the next point, to life, truth of life. And you see, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You really get the sense here of real dominion, that man has now dominion. But do you see that something happens here, that something of a great break happens here again. Namely, God doesn't create anymore something. Up to this point, God created the animals, the living creatures. God created man. Now he does no more create anything. And actually, from this point on, we will find no more a creative act of God. The creative act is finished. And he just could see that what he has created up to that point of man is now taking over, so to say, takes over and shows what that man is doing to all that which has been created before, namely that it has dominion over it. Gives the sense of, see, man's dominion over the world. So, first we had, you just must see the flow in truth. Truth and mind, let there be qualities of thought. let there be qualities of God, divine thoughts. Truth and spirit, these qualities of thought have God's nature, no human nature, no wrong nature. They're they're the wolf and the lamb lie together. They're the leopard and the kid are lying together. You see, they're the calf and the young lion, they are lying together. You see, showing that what God created as qualities have always a positive qualities. Spirit, good. When you have all those qualities, you can say, now all these qualities together constitute man. Let us make man in our image and likeness. Everything what God can conceive of, that altogether is the compound idea called man. What is that compound idea, man? It's the highest ideal that God can have. That's therefore the generic term, truth as principle. A generic term, the highest ideal. And now in life you can see, what does that highest ideal do? That highest ideal, therefore, has dominion over everything that has been created before. And so you get here, so to say, what the Bible calls the Son of Man, the Son of Dominion, the Son of God having dominion over the world. You get your consciousness of expressing and demonstrating your spiritual power over the world.